We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So this morning I want to talk about the watchmen. When I say watchmen, I'm including watch women too. It's just that it's a mouthful to keep saying watchmen, watchwoman. So please bear with me. Watchmen is for all of us. God assigns responsibilities for various members of his house called the house of God. Whenever God builds a church, he has different roles. Some roles are specialized assignments where he expects you to do something. Whatever it is that you are doing, I want you to have the image of the army of God today. We're talking about something connected to the army of God so that we understand some of the things that the Bible talks about. God uses metaphors and expressions that are meant to help us to grasp the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And one of the mysteries that God speaks about very clearly is to do with watchmen. For you to understand watchmen, you need to understand how heaven is designed. So in heaven, there are angels that are assigned to be watchers. And these watchers are watching over different situations or scenarios. For example, in Babylon, where Daniel served, there were angels watching and ready to relay answers to prayer to a watchman who was in Babylon. And even today, there are watchmen set. And the idea is that we parallel some things that are in heaven. The idea is that God's will be done where? On earth. And one of the cultures of heaven, if you read the scriptures, particularly in the book of Revelation, one of the cultures, there are many cultures, but one of the cultures in heaven is prayer. You will notice that if you read Revelation, the angels are forever worshiping God and praising God, and the whole atmosphere is saturated by prayer. And this is the culture in heaven that God wants to touch base here on earth. So that's why Jesus, when he came, he says, men ought always to pray, because it's a culture. It's a culture that's there in heaven 24/7. I don't know how they measure a day in heaven, but there's a culture there. And if church is going to be the gate to heaven or the gateway to heaven, it must know something about prayer. But to know something about prayer, God then raises some people called watchmen. It's a descriptive term of an intercessor. An intercessor, we said last week, is someone who stands in the gap. It's more than praying, didn't we? We say that intercession is more than praying, because a typical prayer meeting of a believer, if you were to eavesdrop what a typical believer is praying for on their own, it's usually to do with me, myself, and I. I know it's not in this church, but churches that I visit, I realize that they struggle with this prayer agenda, which they have, a church where I preach regularly. They will struggle with this agenda of praying for me, myself, and I. That's called prayer. Intercession is not at that level. Intercession, it means you're now standing in the gap between two things or two people or two persons. Usually one is divine and the other one is human. And you are in the gap trying to cause a change so that that which is divine can manifest in that which is human. That's an intercessor. Today we're looking at the watchman. I pick on this because we are interested in what does a watchman do? What exactly is involved in being a watchman? Historically, they say that a watchman, this term title, watchman, came from where these were organized groups of men that were usually authorized by a state or by a government or by a city or by a society to deter criminal activity in a neighborhood. For example, these days we have what we call neighborhood watch committees or what neighborhood watch teams. These are at least permitted. But before, when there was no police force, these were like the police kind of thing where they enforced the law, they performed services of public safety, they reported any fire, and they prevented crime. And also, they recovered stolen goods. Okay. These were watchmen in a general society. That's what they did. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I want to deal with three questions today. Number one is, what is a watchman? And number two is, what do watchers do? And number three is, where do watchmen operate from? Let's start with the easy one. What is a watchman? A watchman in the Bible, whenever the Bible mentions a white man, it's not a white man, a watchman. It could be both. Anyway. Example. Watchmen in the Bible were gods responsible for protecting towns and military bases or military infrastructure. They protected towns from a surprise attack from the enemy. There was always potential danger in those olden days, so a village or a city needed to have watchmen. Watchmen means one who's on the lookout. It means one who's spying out. It means one who watches. That's a watchman. One who watches. The Bible also refers to a watchman in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense. And by this I mean that God, especially in the Old Testament, God will appoint prophets, for example, to be spiritual watchmen over souls of the people. The text we read from Ezekiel 33, God says, I've appointed you, Ezekiel, to be a watchman over my people. Okay? Then he warns him. He says, if I give you a warning and you don't pass it on to the people, you are responsible because their blood is upon you, the watchman. Now, that's quite tough. But that was for the prophet in the Old Testament. But what about today, as I'm speaking today to Sheffield Community Church, what is a watchman? Now, a watchman is an ordinary person, man or woman, old or young, who is dependent on the Holy Spirit to watch and pray over a territory, over a family, over a church. The Bible is clear about this. Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples, he says to them, watch and pray, if you remember. He wasn't talking to prophets only. He was talking to everybody. That as a church, watch and pray. Next week, we're going to go deep into military proper warfare stuff. But today is just introduction. And one of the things I'll mention clearly to you next week is that when you choose to follow Jesus Christ, you have just been recruited into the army of God. From that moment onwards, you take orders from the commander-in-chief. But we'll talk about that next week. Okay, so a watchman is an ordinary person, but that ordinary person, the Holy Spirit gives him or her burdens, something they can't shake off. You have a burden for something. For example, you can have a burden for young people in Sheffield that are getting into all sorts of crime, all sorts of things. And then God gives you a burden to start praying and pressing in, asking God to intervene and change a community like Norfolk Park. You have this burden where you sense that I can't get rest until I've prayed about this. That could be God laying something on you. You have joined what is called the watchman. So it's not a spooky kind of thing. It's ordinary people. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you come from, your background. As long as you have received Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, you could be a watchman. Now, the Bible talks about a lady called Anna the prophetess. Anna was married for 7 years, and then she lived up to 84 years as a widow. And part of the reason is because God had something for her to be doing while she was in widowhood. And that had to do with praying for the Redeemer of Israel to come. And so when the Redeemer came, Anna then shows up in the temple, at least now, because all along she's been doing it in private, in secret, with nobody watching. But then she comes up that day and she gives a prophecy. Now, how many Annas are there? You see, most Annas, we don't even know them. Most Annas are not written off in scripture. You might be here, you're a Hannah. Yes, we might not recognize you. Yes, we might not even mention you. But hey, if God sees you, you're in good company. So there are Annas today. One of my jobs, one of my tasks, in fact, this year, is to fish out for intercessors. That's what I'm doing. They're there. I know they're there. God is clear about this. They are here in SSC, but they are hidden, number one. Or two, they are ignorant. Or number three, they are doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. They are busy looking for food. Well, let me tell you where that's coming from. I just missed some. Let me give you the background. I've been I'm going to be in trouble. Anyway, I've been reading the Gospel of John briefly, not much. So John 4 talks about, if you remember the Samaritan woman, Jesus says, the Bible says he had to pass through Samaria. So he passes through Samaria. And then the disciples, while Jesus is on a mission, you see, the clue is in the first sentence that says, he had to pass through Samaria. And they knew that. But down the road, they were together with Jesus, accompanying him, enjoying everything he was saying. But they came to a place where they said, we're hungry now. Can we go and look for food? You remember the story. So while they were away looking for food, enjoying themselves, they came back, realized that Jesus was engaged in a conversation with a lady called the Samaritan woman, ministering to her. And as though they were not realizing what was going on, they start talking among themselves that, has he eaten something? Because when they asked him about food, he says, I have food to eat that you know not of. So they're thinking, who brought food for him? That's why I said, they are intercessors, but they're going to look for food while God needs them here. Ah, okay. Yeah. So, an intercessor. Let me see. I want to talk to you today very clearly. There are people I want to talk to today. You might be busy today, but listen to this step when you get time. Believers have a responsibility over their families to be watchmen. Okay? Believer, if you're a believer today, you obviously come from a family. And most families are not perfect. Is that correct? There are situations that you can't even as I'm talking right now, say, Pastor, don't even go there. I know. I'm from a kind of a family too that is like that. But here is the thing. You as a believer, you as a priest, because part of you is you're a priest, you have the grace to stand in the gap. There is grace that comes with salvation that enables you to begin to pray for your family in a way that nobody else in your family can ever pray. Nobody. Nobody. Because the grace of God is upon you. By virtue of saying, Jesus, come into my life. Is it not Peter who says, you have the anointing of God upon you. You don't need anybody to teach you. That doesn't mean run out of church and go sit home and say, I'm going to now have the anointing. I don't need it. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is there is a measure of grace that has been given to you to stand in the gap on behalf of your bloodline. God is big on families. The reason Jesus went to the cross is because, in fact, the reason he came to earth was so that he can be related to you and I. As a human being, not as a spirit. That's why there's genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. You can trace Jesus Christ to flesh and blood. Amen. So you are traceable to flesh and blood, but you have a responsibility as a watchman. Spiritual watchman. You have a responsibility. I told you that this is critical for church to understand. This is critical. God put you in your family to fight, to defend, and to stand in the gap as an intercessor. Not to throw up your arms and say, whatever. Hey, demons will hear that. And they will do a peace beast of your family. They come in. You're giving them a door, actually. When you throw up your arms and say, whatever. Now, here's the problem with the church. When a church prays for 1 week for someone to change in your family, you give up. Now, meanwhile, you're praying for a 50-year-old man who has been walking in darkness for most of his life, and you think 1 week prayer will change his life. Come on. Come on. This is the problem with the church. We are watching too much magic. Okay. So as a manager, as a worker, as a nurse, as an accountant, as a mom, as a dad, as a student, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, God puts you in that place to be a watchman, to stand in the gap. You are in that organization as a manager because God wants you to be a watchman in that company. God is very intentional about this. You are an intercessor because of who you are, not because of what you do. Remember, you are the salt and light. So you don't decide to be pepper when God says you are salt. Amen. That's not your decision. That's been decided for you by the Ancient One. Amen. He has decided in heaven that you and I shall be the salt and light of the earth. So when he places you or I in a company, in an organization, there is, God has thought through that. Amen. And therefore, you've got to represent God in that context. You have a spiritual assignment. Believe me, you have a spiritual assignment. Heaven is counting on you. If it's to be, it's up to you. But maybe you have gone to look for food. That's where the issue is. As a church, you and I are assigned by God to stand in the gap for this territory, for this region. Now, remember what I said about an intercessor, a watchman. A watchman is given responsibility over people, over a family, over a ministry. That's a watchman. You have a responsibility over people or a person even. God can give you a burden to pray for somebody. That's normal. Or you have a responsibility over your family. That's been decided already by your bloodline. Or you have a responsibility over a ministry. That's been decided by your choosing to be a part of a spiritual family. So we pray for you. I don't debate who I'm praying for. I've got to pray. You see what I mean? The same. We've got something called missional life communities. If you're an missional life community leader, I want to talk to you, missional community leaders. You have a responsibility over that flock that has been entrusted to you. You must pray for them. It's not a the culture of the land is choice. In heaven, that word is difficult to find. It's spelled this way. Responsibility. That's how it's spelled in heaven. Choice is spelled responsibility in heaven. We have a responsibility as a church over this community, over this city. This city cannot burn while we are here. SCC, are you hearing me? It's our region that God has given us.
Amen.
In God's kingdom, watchmen are assigned over a territory. We are responsible for covering this territory from demonic attacks and infiltrations of evil. Here. From here. We might not have known that, but that is what it is. All right, let's go. What do watchers do? That's a watchman. But what do exactly do they do? They do three, maybe four things. If you're writing notes, let me give you quickly four things that the watchmen do. Number one, watchers wait. They wait. Now, the way they wait is different from how you wait for your bus or for your train. These ones, is scripture says, for they that what? Wait on who? On the Lord shall renew their strength and soar on wings and mount up like, they are not eagles, but when they start operating, they are like eagles. Because in the spirit realm, you need eagles, not parrots that mimic stuff. In the name of, no, we're not talking about that. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but who are you mimicking? Do you see what I mean? So they wait. Number two, they watch. What do watchers do? Of course they watch. They watch. So they wait. But what are they waiting for? They are waiting for instructions from the commander-in-chief. They are under authority. A watcher is not an independent civilian. Watch, they watch. What are they watching? They are watching from an elevated position. Okay? That's what a watcher does. A watcher is on duty whether she feels like it or not, whether it's in season or out of season, whether she's in agreement with the instruction or not, she's on duty. That's what a watcher does. A watcher is always watching. But a watcher also warns. He warns. He gives a warning. He warns those in the camp that I see something coming. Therefore, he warns. So a watcher is careful with his words. You see, you know the story, isn't it? That is it the wolf story? I think Blessed once told me this story where you know the someone who, is it a wolf or a cat or whatever it was, where you just say the enemies are coming or something, and then this thing will be joking. What is it? Well, you know the story. What is the story about? So I'm not telling you, then you know the story. But the essence of the story is that when finally the enemies were coming, they could not believe the story. They could not believe the warning because they were used to false alarm. So when you are a watcher, you are careful with your words. Careful with your words. But also, number four, which we'll talk about more next week, is they engage in warfare. Watchers engage in warfare. They take authority over forces of spiritual darkness that hold people in bondage to sin and darkness. There is sin and darkness in the world. And unless watchers arise, unless watchers begin to do something about it, we are in danger. So there is warfare involved. Whenever you are a Christian, I can assure you that there is warfare concerning your life, concerning your destiny, concerning your children. If you're a believer serving God, the enemy does not follow rules of warfare. He doesn't care. He can attack your mother. He can attack your grandchild. He can attack your child. The devil fights unfairly. He will do anything to send you, to get you angry with God and give up, disappointed. He will do anything. Even your health, he will attack you. From nowhere, you are hit by a pain. You can't move your right hand one morning. You wake up, you can't lift it up. It can't lift. What happened? How was I fighting people in my sleep? No, you were not. Welcome to warfare. It is warfare. It's a war that we are in. When you choose Jesus Christ, you are saying no to the devil, and the devil doesn't like that one bit. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, when life is going too good and everything is okay, be careful. I don't know how you decided to become a Christian, but when you decide to become a Christian, you enroll into the Lord's army. And it's intense sometimes. It's very intense. It's so... How do you fight a person who doesn't follow the rules? I was reading Nehemiah. My goodness. The enemy throws anything and everything at you. Sometimes it's a scandal that's being thrown in your direction. Sometimes it's lies. The devil deals with lies in lies. Sometimes it's a temptation that you can't shake off. All sorts of demons are unleashed on you when you decide to be a watcher. But hey, God is with you. He will strengthen you. He will be with you. Amen. Okay, let's do the last part. Jaden, is that my time? Okay. Where does a watchman operate from? A watchman operates from three places. A watchman operates from three they operate from specific locations in a territory to make their job more productive. Okay? A watcher is not just found everywhere and anywhere. There are specific places. So I'll tell you why this is important, because this will help you how to pray for your family. It will help you how to pray for the city. It will also help you how to pray for yourself, because there are three key points that the enemy will unleash ferocious attack on concerning your life. Three places. And that's where a watcher is supposed to be found. The first place which you want to make sure is you are found in is the holes or the fence. You've got to be found on the holes. There should be a hole somewhere, Jaden. Somewhere in your PowerPoint. There should be some hole somewhere. Okay. Isaiah 62, verse 6 to 7. While they are looking for, I think it's there though, but anyway. Isaiah 62, verse 6 to 7. What does it say? It says, "On your holes, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen." For how long? Talk to me. For how long? And? And they what? Next verse. Keep going. Let's keep going. Now, we started well by talking about watchmen. But notice the language changes mid-sentence, actually. Isaiah changes mid-sentence, says, I'm not talking about physical watchmen. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about watchmen that... let's go. Put the verse back, Jaden, please. Yes, and I realize you found the holes. Well done. Well done. So, so he says, day and night, it's no longer just a physical standing, watching over the walls, but there is something that is happening in the spirit realm that is parallel to what is happening in heaven. That is, they shall never be silent. What will they be doing if they're not silent? They are praying. The next verse tells us, says, they will put to remembrance the things that God has promised. We had the promises that a prophetic word came through here today. Those promises that God has made in your life, bring them to remembrance as you do that. And the next, he says, you do this by praying, you see. You give him no rest. You are praying. Then those things will be established. Jerusalem is not in heaven. Jerusalem is on earth. But you need your holes guarded. See, in the ancient days, an ancient city's primary defense was building, maintaining, and protecting the city walls. That's where the highest budget went to. Fortifying your, as you can see, that hole. That's a difficult one to build. Just like the walls of Jericho, where we are told that six chariots could go in single lane, not a single lane, but parallel to each other across. Those were holes that they had built to make sure that the enemy cannot come in to secure the city. That's a hole. And so watchmen, God is saying watchmen must be found on those holes. What are they doing? They are patrolling the holes. They are monitoring what's going on close to the holes. They are checking, is this still intact? Because if it's not intact, Job tells us that if the hedge is broken, something will come in. Something is going to sneak in. So a community, see, when holes were broken in a community, what used to happen is that the enemies will come in, or intruders will come in, they will grab the girls and the women, rap them, and kill them, and throw them on the streets. So when they wake up in the morning, bodies are strewn all over the city. And they will do that continuously. Continuously. Why? The city had no holes. The city had no walls. So a city without holes is vulnerable to enemies' attack. We need holes in our lives. We need holes. Isaiah says, watchmen need to be interceding day and night, calling on the name of the Lord. They should never be silent. Why? Because they are always on duty. Always on duty. Now, this is talking about the prayer life of a church. Where are the watchmen? In God's house. Does the church have a prayer strategy for watching over the church, over the people, over the city? You might not be aware of this, but I don't know what's happening, what has happened. I know COVID was rough, wasn't it? It hit us bad. It was a difficult time. But we have, SCC has slumped on prayer. If you look at prayer meetings now, one or two people, because it's as though prayer is no longer important now. I'm talking to SCC now. Do we even know when prayer meetings are? People that used to pray, all of a sudden we're too busy to attend prayer. Oh, Pastor, don't go there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this very clearly. A church that doesn't pray will become an entertainment center. And I don't pastor an entertainment center. Neither should you. An entertainment center doesn't need a pastor. It needs a chaperone. So, make up your mind at this thing called prayer. Prayer is not doing a favor to anybody. Prayer is doing our responsibility of taking territory. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse 28, it says this, listen to this, it says, a man without self-control is like a broken, it's like a city broken into and left without holes. A believer, okay, you know that when the Bible talks about a city, sometimes when it says a city, it's talking about a man. Like Jeremiah says, Jeremiah, they're going to come against you, but you shall stand like a city. City can represent a man, but the holes, the city wall is self-control. That city wall. So it means that your spiritual life has got a structure within it, and that structure includes self-control. And when that structure is broken down, it means that anything can come in, including demons. That person who's, so a broken spirit, okay, a crushed spirit are all examples of a broken structure within your heart. The infrastructure of your heart, the spiritual infrastructure of your heart, if there's anything broken, damaged, or crushed, it means your holes are down. And so you're vulnerable to attack. So the enemy is always finds it easy to attack a person who's already struggling with stuff. See, when animals, you'll notice that when a lion sees a number of animals, what it does, it doesn't attack all of them. No, it doesn't. It lies low and analyzes which is the weakest, which is the one that looks naughty, that wants to be on its own. And then it starts trailing the weakest one. And gets it for supper. The devil does the same. The devil does the same. He looks for holes that are broken. But I've got good news for you today. There is a repairer of broken holes. Amen. His name is Jesus. In fact, he is in this construction business of repairing hearts, mending hearts, restoring broken spirits. He is in this business. That's his job. When you come to him, he will sort it out. He can fix that. Sometimes, you see, the problem with God's stuff is there's no fixed address of where this can happen. It can happen in a prayer meeting that you didn't want to attend, and God brings healing in that prayer meeting. It can happen in a men's meeting, breakfast meeting. Can you imagine? He can speak through that meeting, and then boom, your heart is repaired. It can be in a ladies' meeting. God does things the way he wants to do them. Now, you are still waiting for Sunday. I'm not sure if I'm speaking to anybody here today, but I feel like I'm walking on eggs today. Listen to Psalm 34, verse 18. Put Psalm 34, verse 18 up on the screen. What does Psalm 34, verse 18 say? It says, The Lord is near to who? The brokenhearted. And what does he do? If you are here this morning, you identify with that. May the Lord repair your heart right now in the name of Jesus. No man can do this for you. You can try look for a boyfriend, a girlfriend to heal your broken emotions. It's not going to work. Amen. There's one man who does it well, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's the first infrastructure that you guard. You guard the holes of your heart. Guard your holes. Where holes have been broken, stand and begin to lift them. In families, where the fence has been breached, there are all sorts of things coming in through that gate. Things that you never knew in your house. You said, I didn't know our family does such a thing. Listen, your holes have broken down. Where families have stopped praying, where you no longer speak kindly to one another, holes have broken down. Where you are even embarrassed to read the Bible together as a family, if you are no longer doing those things, walls have come down. And when holes come down, there are things that are going to come that you will struggle to kick out of your family. Amen. Fix the holes. Now, you tell me you have nothing to pray for. You say, oh my goodness. How can a Christian not have a prayer agenda? How does that work? I mean, of course, there are perfect families here. But if you are from my family, my goodness, I've got to pray. I go to pray. Amen. Even some relatives, as I'm visiting them, I am praying in the car. Amen. I do know what I'll eat. See, you're shocked. These are perfect families. Here's the second infrastructure, gates. Gates. So there are walls, but there are also gates. Nehemiah chapter 3 is all about repairing gates. Jerusalem had 12 gates. And Nehemiah made sure that they were all repaired. And then Nehemiah chapter 7, they finished building the gates. And then Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1, Nehemiah says, now when the hall had been built, in other words, you repair the holes first. Then he moves on to the second thing. He says, I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers, the singers and the Levites had been appointed. Then verse 3, jump to verse 3, Jaden. He says, and I say to them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they are still standing guard, let them shut and bar the doors. The security system of Jerusalem was built on access through the gates. But the gates were down. And Nehemiah had this burden to go and rebuild the gates. Because as long as gates are down, the enemy can come in and do anything he likes. In fact, in those days, when you broke through the walls, the first thing you did was to go open the gates for more demons to come in. Sorry, for more enemies to come in. Demons travel in packs. So if you have a lie of, if there's a demon of lying, there's a demon of deception next to it. They walk together. If there's a demon of fornication, there's a demon of immorality on the other end. They travel in packs. That's why you never know what hits you. All of a sudden, you are frustrated. Then you are depressed. Then you have ulcers. Then you have all sorts of... They travel in packs. Because one opens it breaches the hole. Then it opens the gates. They come in, come in, come in, come in, come in. We got this family now. Because the devil is a respecter of no man. So what he does is he will hit you and your child and your grandchildren and generations after. You sound surprised. There are things called patterns in homes. You will realize that, how is it that all male in my family, they die before they're 50 years old? Is that a coincidence or it's a medical problem? Something has entered the family. The gates. What do gates represent? Gates represent a place where decisions are made. Gates, it's an important place where access is granted or denied. Amen. So when you're dealing with gates, you are dealing with a place where traffic is determined. It's where business is conducted. These days we conduct business from Wall Street, but in those days business was conducted from the gate. elders will sit at the gate and decide, should we allow these people to come and trade in our city? It was decided at the gate. So a watchman stands at the gate. A watchman is to be found at the gate, because if there is no one at the gate, the enemy will storm in and do whatsoever he desires. Now, here's the thing about a gate. When an enemy comes through a breached hole, he can't bring in heavy armory. To bring in heavy armory to attack a city, you need to open the gates. Then you bring in heavy armory. In your life, if your gate is open, watch out what you're allowing to come through. Proverbs 3:24. Proverbs 3:24 says, is that what I said? Okay, I'll say it. You'll know that's not the right one. Above all else, guard the heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Let's test Jaden and see if he knows his Bible. Okay, so above all else, guard the heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Why should you guard the heart? Because your heart is extremely valuable. Anything that happens in your life is flowing from your heart. Above all else. It's not like if you get around to it or if you're nice, please sort out this. He says, above all else, make sure there are gates in your heart. The heart is the source of everything you do. It's the wellspring. Wellspring. This is where things bubble from. It's the wellspring of your life. So it threatens your family, your friends, your ministry, your career, even your legacy. So it's imperative that you guard your heart. Don't entertain demonic thoughts. You know, you can kill a person sitting in your house without even leaving your house. You kill them up here. It's the source of everything. Your heart is under constant attack. See, your heart is a combat zone. That's why if the enemy wants to attack you, he drops a thought. He brings frustration. A boss rises at work and starts accusing you or starts picking on you to bring disappointment, to make you angry. And when you are angry, how many of you know that you're a lovely person to be around? All this is to press buttons in your life so that the heart is heavy. Now, for me, one of the things I realized that I learned is that when my heart is heavy, I can't pray. You with me? Now, because I can't pray, it means I'm a watchman who's not in touch with head office. So my praying is futile that day because I'm not making headway. So the enemy rejoices. So what he does is he will attack your heart with so many things happening in your life. Simple things make you angry. And you wonder, why am I lashing at everybody today? Your gate. Your gate. A believer must know how to hand over his heart to God. Let God deal with your heart. And one of the ways of dealing with the heart is confession, repentance, saying, God, cleanse my heart. God, help me. You'll be surprised the breakthrough you will have. Our time is gone. I'm going to just quickly close with the last one. The watchtower. The third location of a watchman is the watchtower. The watchtower. We've got gates. We've got walls. The most strategic position for a watchman is the watchtower. A watchtower is an elevated position where a watchman can see the enemy before anyone sees the enemy. He can see the danger coming before it is close and can warn the rest of the camp to say, there's an enemy coming. Then they start preparing for war. A watchtower is a place of advantage. In fact, Not everybody goes to the watchtower because there is a certain culture at the watchtower which most people are not comfortable following. For example, you travel light when you're going up the watchtower because you're going to be there for a long time. And when you get up the tower, you don't engage in anything else other than focusing on what's coming. Because if a watchman sleeps while on the job, the city will be taken over. You can't be asleep when you're on the watchtower. The watchtower is an elevated, advantageous position that gives you sight. You cannot be a watchman and be blind. You can't go up the tower and be blind. Your eyesight must be sharp when you go up there. I'm talking spiritual now. The only way you sharpen what you see at the watchtower is staying close to God. You need the spirit of revelation and wisdom. Sometimes people see the enemy, but they can't interpret that is the enemy. They think it's a friend. Ask Nehemiah. They came to him and said, can we build with you too? Nehemiah, being a man, a watchman, says, no, you don't get it. This is covenantal stuff we're doing here. You are not in covenant with us, so you're not building with us. There are people that will come to your family that you don't know where. That uncle that you have never heard of says, I'm your uncle. And then he wants to say, let me babysit your children. You are bringing something into your own household. Our children are being raised by TV. And TV is a, Disneyland is an agenda. They are not even secretive about it. They have made it clear we have an agenda. But they are raising our children. And parents say, it doesn't matter, harmless. You watch. You're opening a gate. You watch. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. This is England. I do. I've raised 3 children here. Isaiah 21:6 says, for thus the Lord said to me, go set a watchman, let him announce what he sees. Spiritual things are not done at the normal level. Spiritual things demand that you rise. Spiritual things demand that you climb up the tower. Some of the families represented here, it's time you went up the tower. Amen. Because you have not been seeing clearly. So the devil has been making traffic nonstop into your household. And you have been thinking it's normal. It's not normal. There's something happening. Climb up the tower and see clearly from God's view. God will begin to show you some things in your family that you can begin to shut the door. You know what qualifies you to do that? Your blood. Your bloodline. But your bloodline has a new infusion. The bloodline now includes the blood of Jesus Christ. You are now connected to the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is the one that brings victory to your battles, not your own. Because this blood of Jesus Christ is expensive, it's precious, it's priceless, and it's without sin. So when it kicks into your family, it's a whole level of warfare because this blood will break every evil strategy that the enemy has designed for your family. Some things will take time, but when you begin to understand the ministry of watchmen, why you are here, God will begin to change things around. I'm telling you, life, if you start today, say, I'm going to start praying for my family. Every day, husband and wife, we will pray for our children. We will pray for our grandchildren. We will pray for the family tree. We will begin to pray. It may take 5 years. For some of you, it might take 10 years. Don't bother. What's 10 years compared to 10 generations that are coming after you? I'm not even praying for my children right now. You know, when I sing that song, that Lord bless generations after, I say 1,000 generations of the Moyo tribe. Let them rise and serve the God of Zion. We will not serve foreign gods. That's my prayer. I'm talking big prayers. Kingdom prayers, not me, myself, and I. Do you know you don't pay for making kingdom prayers? God doesn't charge you. Shall we stand? The Bible says we are watchmen. We warn people of imminent danger. James says, does any of you lack wisdom? You can ask from the Lord, and he will give you wisdom. Many of us need to blow the trumpet here. We need to start with drawing blood. You know, there is no other way God will save your family if you remain silent. I'm not from your family. I can help you, but it's your responsibility to cry out to God and say, God, save my family. God, teach me how to pray for my family. Teach me how to pray for my church. And for church, simple, just join a prayer meeting. Because someone has already, you know, a question of how to pray. That one is easy. The church one is the easiest of all. In case you don't know that. The church meeting is the easiest of all of them. And 1 hour is not enough. The difficult one is the one you pray at home on your own. That's the difficult one. Where no one is watching. Where life keeps going. You keep going to work, coming back home. Have dinner, go sleep. Next same thing tomorrow. And meanwhile, the enemy is coming. No one has sounded the trumpet yet. But usually, you discover at the wrong time when you hear something from your child saying, Mommy, I found a boyfriend. Okay, what has happened? I'm pregnant. Outside marriage. That's a culture. Except that culture is not a kingdom culture. And then before you know it, cousins and third cousins and fourth cousins, they all get married that way. It's a pattern. You know, I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. I'm saying this to show you the amount of work we have as believers. That we can pray, cry on the Lord, cry to God and say, God, change my family. I can't do it in my strength, but you can. Can I give you a minute? You just want a minute to pray on your own? Is that okay? Think of your family. Just for this minute, be selfish and ignore everybody. Think of your family. Just for this minute. Don't worry about the church for today. I want you to think about your family. And just say, Lord, would you intervene? Help me build holes around my family. May I repair the gates like Nehemiah did. Help me build foundations into my household. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me climb up the tower. Help me climb up the tower that I may see things that I haven't been seeing before in my family. Help me to warn, to sound the trumpets, to stand in the gap, to cry out, my God, for the souls that are being lost in my own family. I dispel darkness today. Let light shine in my family. In the name of Jesus, let light shine forth in our families, Lord. May darkness not be the order of the day. In the name of Jesus, that Lord, you may break patterns, break cycles, break sicknesses and all sorts of diseases that we have been having a go at our family for years, for decades, for centuries. Today we stand, we arise in prayer. Say, Lord, change things in our families. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Well, I hope you will continue when you get home and continue for a very long time because it's really up to you as a Christian. Amen? God bless you. You can take your seats.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.